Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL, Ed Maher. Good morning, Ed.
Hey.
How's it going?
Great. How are you?
And today, back, Phil Davidson.
Back in the saddle.
Baby. Welcome back, Phil. We missed you.
I miss you guys, too.
Yeah. Hi, Phil.
I thought about you every day I was gone.
Where were you?
I was in Vermont.
How was it? Good?
The Green Mountain State. It was great.
That Vermont's is a beautiful
Green
place.
State, yep. Vermont is, I think, French.
Correct.
Yeah? Oh, thank you so much. I used to ski there when I was back in my in-shape days.
I can't imagine you skiing.
I was good at it for 5 minutes.
Yeah. I could see you skiing in like the full spandex outfit, like racer outfit.
Like ski patrol with the feathered hair. Yeah, I could see that.
Aviators.
Gnarly!
Yeah. It was before, like, it was even before, what do they call those things?
Drugs?
No, it certainly wasn't before that. what are the boards thing?
Oh, snowboards.
Snowboards, yeah, yes. It was before snowboarding.
Okay, boomer.
What are they call those things?
Kids rap.
All right, listen, we got a ton to get to. We have what I would consider a scoop. We have the head of Unite Here, Local 26, on Carlos Aramayo, and he is leading his concession workers at Fenway on strike right now. Right,
they're out.
Imagine that, 40 years, and the issue is, you'll hear, but one of the issues is automation.
Yeah.
Right? So here's the oldest park in the world. It's going to have robots. It's ridiculous.
I know. And one of probably the richest franchises in all of
there's no
sports.
No question.
I mean, iconic. It's like, come on.
Yeah, fix
this.
And by the way, pay your workers.
If you're selling people beers, a $2 beer for $16, yeah, the person serving it shouldn't be living in poverty.
I think that's right. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to have him on, and then we're going to get to a whole bunch of other stuff. But we'd be remiss to not report on several celebrity deaths.
Yeah, it's been a bad week.
Yeah, for them.
For, you know, or fans of them, or good-hearted people everywhere.
First of all, Ozzy, right? Yeah, Ozzy passed away like 12 days after the farewell concert.
Yeah.
And that farewell concert, I think, raised almost $200 million for charity.
Did it really?
Yeah, it was a lot of kids' hospital stuff, kids' hospice.
Yep. So
it was the last show of Black Sabbath.
They had a massive
lineup for that show.
Yeah. I've seen clips of it. I think they're going to put it out next year. On DVD or
they're
something
making
like
a
that.
Movie for it, of it next year. I can't wait to watch it.
They don't make DVDs.
Wow, no, boomer.
I really am. Yeah. I'm getting old.
A-tracks.
Tape.
Yeah. And then, so is Ozzy's Boneyard on Sirius still going to be called Ozzy's Boneyard?
That seems very offensive.
It's even more appropriate.
It's a good point. Ozzy's Boneyard, literally.
I'm feeling kind of triggered.
Hey-o. That's a good one. And then who else died?
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God. You know what?
I mean, Hulk Hogan is in that rare air of, like, if I met him as an adult, it's like him and Michael Jordan. They're two people that I probably wouldn't be able to keep it cool around at all. I mean, when I was a kid watching wrestling, Hulk Hogan was like,
that was,
you know,
your thing.
He fought the Iron Sheik. It was like America versus the bad guys. But as a kid, you visualize that through wrestling.
Hulk Hogan was a union buster.
That's not untrue.
Tell the story.
And I have a lot of trouble.
God, tell it.
Conflicted here.
The wrestlers were trying to form a union, and it was being led by Jesse.
Lord knows they needed one.
Yeah, no kidding. Jesse the Body Ventura. And the Hulkster went to Vince McMahon and let him in on the plot, and I don't know. I don't know if he made a couple extra bucks. I'm not looking to sully the name of recently deceased Hulk Hogan. I assume that the Iron Sheik will be waiting for him beyond the pearly gates.
They've got unfinished business.
But he was against the players or the wrestlers forming a union.
Come on, man. He snitched, and I think there was...
He ruined the possibility of that happening.
Yeah.
And that was like in the 80s?
Yeah.
And by the way, that's how many years ago? 40 years ago? They still haven't been able to form a union?
That is a cutthroat business, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. It's one day you're up, yep, next day you're down.
I mean, back. The Rock, like, Vince McMahon owns the name The Rock, so when he was making movies with as Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Vince McMahon got a cut. John Cena, that's his name. Vince McMahon owns part of his name.
Does he really?
So when he when he acts, Vince McMahon, and John Cena's like, hey, whatever he gets, he should get more. I wouldn't be anywhere without him. Wow. It's like,
glass half full. One day they're promoting you, you're selling out arenas, and then next week you get your contract cut and you're wrestling in basements. You know?
Wow. Just ask Barry Horowitz.
Yeah, exactly.
Still looking for a fight.
And then Chuck Mangione. Trumpet player? Horn player? I'm not sure what he played. Horn something, right?
Flugelhorn. Oh, the flugelhorn.
Oh, that's right. There you go. Look at you. I knew you would know this.
He's a jazz legend.
Yes, I don't know what a flugelhorn is.
It's what Chuck Mangione played.
Is it like the Ricola, like standing on top of a mountain? Like,
no.
I think it's similar to a
that's
trumpet.
That's a sheep's horn, Ed.
I don't know anybody who plays that.
We call it a chauffeur in our people.
Bobby from King of the Hill was a big Chuck Mangione fan. So.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Right. Well, that's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
We got time for a quick...
What else we got do we
have Chuck Mangione? Do we have time for a quick Philadelphia strike update?
Please. Yes.
All right, here we go.
A couple minutes here.
So, strike over in Philadelphia. We had talked about it last week. Vote happened the garbage strike, right? And 9,000... I think they're AFSCME, District Council 33, something or other. Anyway, they all walked out on strike. And they came back in what I would consider not a good deal. Mm. It was basically what the company had offered or the city had offered to begin with, I believe.
The union leader had said that he wasn't exactly thrilled with the deal.
The union leader said, I don't know what there's to celebrate on. We were poor when we walked out on strike. We're poor when we walk back on strike.
Yeah.
You know, we'll walk back in. So, like, it's bad. I don't know. I think
the members voted for it, though.
Well, here's the fact. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. There are 9,000 members in the union.
Yeah.
Okay. 2,375 people voted.
Ooh.
1,500 voted for, 800 and change voted against.
Mm.
So you're talking about 74%, 75% stayed home.
Yeah.
And if you're staying home, I don't think you're supporting the deal.
You got no leg to stand on.
I mean, that is just
But if you're not, I mean, like democracy, if you're not out there voting, you don't really get to complain about what you get. That's sad, though.
Those are sad numbers.
For being on a first strike in a generation and you don't vote.
I mean, yeah, it's more than a generation. And you know what the president's name is? His last name is Boulware. You know what Boulwareism is?
I don't.
It's actually a labor term, and it stands for when a company comes to the bargaining table and makes you an offer and never moves off the offer, having no intent to actually negotiate. They just have a predetermined, whatever. And it's named after General Electric, a guy named Lemuel Boulware, and it's illegal.
Boo.
And so the president of AFSCME's name is Boulware.
That seems like a bad omen. I'm just saying.
Yeah, same.
That's so, like being a baseball player and your last name is Strikeout. Unless you're a pitcher. That would be pretty cool.
Boulware sounds like.
But I do nothing against this guy. I'm sure he did the best job he could. I know he did. And, you know, it's not easy walking people out on strike. And you know, I'm not casting aspersions, but when your members are not voting, there's some disconnect, and you got to rally the troops and get people involved. And so I just thought that those numbers were disappointing. But they'll live to fight another day.
The Philly's no longer full of garbage.
Well, I think
that's not true. That's not true.
They still have the Eagles fans.
Oh,
hey-o.
Yeah, right. Philadelphia, where they have to grease the poles every weekend.
Where my son lives. So, anyway, we got to go. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk with Unite Here Local 26.
Carlos Aramayo.
Super stoked. Yep. We'll be right back with more of the Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Phil, and we have what I think is a scoop, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
And we are lucky to have today Carlos Aramayo. He is the president of Unite Here Local 26, based out of Boston. Carlos, welcome.
Great to be here. Glad to talk to you all.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on. We know it's like a short notice, and we appreciate the time. So you guys, Unite Here Local 26, tell us 2 seconds about your local, right? It's Boston area?
Yeah, so we're the Hospitality Workers Union for the Greater Boston Area and Rhode Island. We represent a little over 13,000 people who work in food service, hotels, and most importantly for this conversation, at Fenway Park.
Okay, Fenway Park. And so that's what we're talking about.
You guys called ballpark.
You guys called a strike on Friday.
Yep, we called a strike on Friday at noon, and we're out on the line striking against Aramark, who's the food service provider at Fenway Park.
So is it a joint employer situation, or is the contract directly with Aramark?
It's a contract directly with Aramark.
Got it. Okay, so Fenway and the Red Sox organization hires Aramark to take care of their concessions.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
You guys, your members work directly for Aramark.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Is Aramark still in Chicago?
I think they're, yeah.
Mostly
yeah.
Levy here now, right?
Yeah. I don't know where they are. They're based out of Philadelphia, but they're all around the country.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I've never seen them.
So what are the issues about this on the strike?
I mean, look, there's a lot of things that we got to get resolved, but there's two major issues here. Yep. One is just wages.
Sure.
Frankly, our hourly employees, they are making $18 to $22 an hour. That is nowhere near enough to make ends meet in the Boston area. We have everywhere, right?
Yeah.
We have skyrocketing cost of living.
Yep.
And so we really need a correction. Frankly, folks are making like $10 less than comparable workers at like Levy at the convention center doing the same kind of work or making 10 bucks more an hour. So we really need a major wage adjustment. So that's the first big issue.
How did it get so far behind?
I mean, look, I think there's a long history here of folks I think there's two things. One, this used to be one of our better food service contracts, but as we've organized a lot more in the industry, we've actually really driven up the standard in a lot of places. And so now this contract has actually fallen significantly behind.
Got it.
I mean, I think the other thing, frankly, is about a third of the people here rely on their hourly and two-thirds rely on gratuity. And so I think historically there's been a lot of focus on the gratuity workers.
Got it.
But we're changing that this year, and we're focusing on everybody at the park.
Yeah, that makes that makes sense to me. And you guys, you know, for those listening, you guys have grown. I looked at your numbers. I mean, 10 years ago, you weren't nearly this size. So you guys have actually been one of the few, you know, unions in the country that are actually out there organizing, right? Growing your ranks and like you said, raising wages and raising the standard of living for people. So kudos to you for doing that.
Thank you so much. Yeah. No, we've more than doubled in size in the last decade.
So. That's awesome, right? I mean, that's absolutely awesome. So,
and who do you represent at the stadium? Is it the vendors? Is it the ushers? Is it everyone?
It's all of the concessions workers.
All concessions.
So anybody who's selling you anything, whether it's a hot dog, a beer, or a t-shirt, there are members of Local 26.
Got it. Okay.
So I saw that you had put out a call for fans of the game to not buy any concessions when they're there tonight. Are concessions going to be sold by, strike breakers, by
management,
robots? Who's going to be working these stands?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's almost a better question for the management.
I think,
you know, they're scrambling to try to get as many temps in there as possible. You know, to be honest, I think it's going to be a mess in there because, you know, we represent a lot, not just the folks you see at the hot dog stand, but we represent the premium workers, the suites workers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we represent folks who are not really replaceable, right? They personally know the order of the guy who owns the suite, you know?
Sure,
And so, you know, I think it's going to be a real challenge. But you raised another important issue, which is the robot question, which is the second big issue in our bargaining right
now. Yeah, I read about that. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So what's going on is, you know, our beer sellers, right, our folks who get access to gratuity, they actually make a pretty decent living, you know, selling beers, you know, selling St. Adams with the Boston accent, as I like to say, at the park. But, you know, what we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years is the introduction of these machines, these self-service machines, where folks can grab a beer out of a cooler, run it through the machine, and then go back to the stands and go watch the game. And where you used to have, I'll give an example, you used to have a stand where you'd have 4 beer sellers selling beer.
Right.
There's now one person standing there watching 4 machines, and so 3 people have lost.
That's everywhere now.
And the beers aren't any cheaper.
No.
No. In fact, I think they're more expensive.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Let me ask you this. Does the robot have a Boston accent?
Somebody was asking that the other day. And as far as we can tell, it doesn't have a Boston accent.
There is a silver lining
somewhere.
All right. So automation. I 100% agree with you. You know, you go to the airports, it's the same thing, right? There's one person watching, you know, a machine, people check out. I just refuse. I refuse to use it. I refuse to go to self-checkout lines. I think if people, you know, if the fans, if you will, just refuse to do it, then you know, automation would go away. But you're going to need some buy-in from them. But you need to protect that in collective bargaining, right? Like the writer's strike, et cetera, right? I mean, so it's happening, I think, everywhere. And I think you'd be wise, obviously, to make sure that that's a number one or number two issue. What are the have you talked to the Players Association? Have you talked to the Red Sox? Are they going to cross a picket line? We're like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked to the Players Association. You know, they've been very supportive. You know, they've definitely sent a message to the Red Sox that they want to see this settled. The two player reps, you know, Garrett Whitlock and Giolito, like, they have been very vocal. In fact, just a couple days ago when they were playing the Phillies, they were asked about it, I think, at one of the press roundups or whatever, and they were very, very positive and super on message, actually, about what we're fighting for and supporting us. So, you know, we're really happy that they have taken that position. You know, we're hopeful through this weekend that they're going to take an even more aggressive position, you know, sending a message to the, you know, because look, at the end of the day, we all know Aramark's the employer, but it's a pass-through to John Henry and the Red Sox, right?
Right.
That's how these contracts are always structured in the food service industry. And so at the end of the day, you know, if Mr. Henry made the call, I think this would all get resolved very, very quickly. So I think they have a real role to play, and you know, I'm hopeful that they'll step up in a lot of ways over the course of this weekend as we're on strike.
For those of you listening, you know, I know that this is, you know, one of my pet peeves and something I think at some point needs to get addressed, and that is the no strike, no lockout clauses in these major league contracts, right? There is a world in which the players associations get together and say, those need to go away. Because in the building trades, we don't cross pick lines,
right?
I mean, that's our strength.
And there's none for entertainers, right? Because LL Cool J was able to...
Yeah, he didn't cross a picket line.
He didn't cross a picket line, and I don't think there's any penalty for him, and that was at a stadium, right?
I mean, what happens if the Red Sox all got sick today, and they just decided not to play tonight?
Yeah.
They don't feel the red flu.
No comment on that.
No, I'm kidding.
We wish them well.
Yeah, we wish
if
them
only
well.
Only they were in a pennant race right now. Right.
So, listen, is there anything that we can do here at the Workers' Mic for you? I mean, we're trying to get the word out. Look, you know, I think you're doing God's work out there, but, you know, what can we do to help?
I think getting the word out makes a lot of, is really helpful. Obviously, the issues that we're fighting for, folks who work in concessions around the country face these issues when they go to work. And, you know, I think this idea that you're throwing out there around how do we build more solidarity in the sort of sports business world, I think is really important conversation. And I know it's been a discussion that, you know, I've spoken to, you know, folks at the NHL, PA, and they've said a lot of, you know, positive things about trying to figure that out. And frankly, it's a thing that we also run into in another part of our industry, which is in the hotel industry, right? Where a lot of these players stay at hotels.
Yeah.
They don't want to stay at a hotel that's on strike, but their contract tells them they have to. And we want to figure out how to make sure folks can honor picket lines when they should.
And there are unions that have already told you that they are going to honor the picket line, right? Teamsters, I'm assuming, is one of them.
Teamsters, IATSE, you know, they work in the park and they deliver stuff to the park. They're not going in. There's a MGM Music Hall is attached to the park here. Which is also run by Aramark. It's a concert night. I don't know how that's going to go if IATSE doesn't show up.
Right.
But,
that's interesting. That's interesting.
Wow. So, yeah, we've got a lot of folks coming out saying that they're going to support us. And, you know, Boston, like Chicago, right? It's a union town, right?
Absolutely. Listen, we have found two good things out of Boston now. We have Unite Here Local 26 and the Dropkick Murphys. Right, I think that's full disclosure, Carl. I'm from New York, so I'm born and raised to hate Boston. But you know, in this particular case, I'm rooting for you guys.
You're getting soft, Ken.
I am getting soft.
What happened to you?
Thanks so much.
Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you guys are under the gun, and you know, keep us up to speed. And we wish you well and Godspeed, and go get them. You've been listening to Carlos Aramayo, president of Unite Here Local 26 out of Boston, and they are on strike against Fenway. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you.
It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit HingeHealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Ed, Phil, that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, we wish them well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to win this thing. And hopefully they do better, to be blunt with you, than the Philly garbage strike. You know, these people, like he said, you can't live anywhere near where you work, right? And no. By the way, if you're working at Fenway, it's seasonal work.
Right.
It's not like you're working year round. I think they do like concerts and things like that too. But I mean, that's, you make your money right in the middle of, you know, hot summer, selling beer, blah blah blah. Like it's not an easy job,
no,
at all.
And to, you know, with a strike like this in an industry like this, you often have the other side saying something like, "Well, if we raise their wages, they're going to just pass along the cost to the to the people buying drinks."
They've already passed along that cost.
They've been doing that while these folks haven't been getting raises. I mean, from McDonald's to Walmart to everything, they're going to raise your prices no matter what. And if we haven't learned that in the past 3 or 4 or 5 years, you haven't been paying attention.
That's for sure. Look, I went to a sandwich place I'm not going to name. And it was $25 for 2 sandwiches. Like, this is just, I mean, it's getting outrageous.
Yeah.
It's getting nuts.
Yeah, pay people.
The difference between fast food and sit-down restaurants is so small for cost now that there's no reason to be, like, chowing an Arby's sandwich in your car, you know, when you could just sit down and eat real food.
Well, there is. It's faster, and it's Arby's sandwich in your car.
I mean, I guess that speaks to some people.
Sometimes you just need to shame eat, though. You know?
Yeah, just sit there and like
cry while you eat it.
Yeah, park in the back corner of the parking lot where nobody can see you.
It's good. It's cathartic.
Listen, I've gone through a drive-thru where I'm finished eating my meal before I get out of the parking lot. I'm driving
all the time.
I just shove it in my mouth. I'm so hungry. All right,
I think one of my greatest traits is my ability to eat while I'm driving on the highway.
Have you ever almost choked? Have you ever like had it go down like where you like cough it up and you're like, if that didn't work, like what was I going to do?
You can't give yourself the Heimlich.
I think that's my most likely cause of death at this point is choking on a burger while I'm driving by myself. Because what do? You park your car, you get out, and you're just like...
I really hope
it's a real fear.
I hope
you need like a Heimlich bot in your car. Or something.
Heimlich bot's not a bad idea, or a seat that gives you the Heimlich.
Yeah,
right.
Like a steering wheel that explodes something out into your chest and makes you spit up that
piece
of a hot dog.
That's your first alert button. You just press the button.
Had Ed die. He choked on a Big Mac while he's driving,
and everybody's just like, "Yeah,
that makes sense."
We saw it coming.
That's how we would have wanted to go. Oof.
All right, let's talk about why we're actually here on the radio.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
So you got something from Rhode Island?
Yeah. This is our East Coast episode today. Another strike.
You've been on your beat.
Yeah, I've been on the East Coast beat. A union that is near and dear to your hearts, SEIU. Local 1199.
That's right. Mom and dad.
Shout out to Ken's mama.
Amen. They there's a hospital out there, Butler Hospital in Rhode Island.
Yep.
And this is now the longest strike in Rhode Island hospital history. The nursing, it's a nurses union, and then the support staff are on strike against this hospital. The support staff, the people who take care of the patients, who make sure that all their, you know, take them to the bathroom, make sure that they have their food, their water, they were offered a best and final offer of $18 an hour. Rhode Island, like a lot of the New England states, is a very expensive place to live.
$18 an hour.
$18 an hour. And
so that's less than 40 grand a year.
A recent study said that to afford even a studio in Rhode Island is 25 bucks an hour. Minimum wage. So they're so far behind. And
so what do they do? Like double up and like, you know, have roommates and things like that?
Yes.
So you're a 40, 50 year old, you know, healthcare giver and you're living with 3 other people.
Exactly.
That's sad.
Yeah. And this strike's been going on for 2 months. I guess Butler Hospital posted the agreement, terms of agreement online during negotiations.
Oh, posted the offer?
Yes. I don't know. Is that
that's an unfair labor practice.
I was going to say.
That direct deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
So they're playing hardball. But yeah, just want to give a shout out to our colleagues and our brothers and sisters out there in Rhode Island to give them hell and get this settled.
Fight the good fight.
Yeah.
So we got that. And then you want to hear something cool? Kind of cool. I mean, sort of bittersweet. Kentucky, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. you know, they went right to work in 2017, right? Of course, Senate Bill 1.
Yeah.
You know, House Bill 1.
The most important thing.
Of course. As soon as, the Republicans take over all the branches of government, you know, voila, you have right to work.
I'm surprised it took that long, to be honest.
Yeah, same. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. So there were some firefighters that decided to form a union, even though there's no collective bargaining law in Kentucky.
Because you need a state law for public sector bargaining. Mm-hmm.
And then you have, obviously, it's already right to work. Mm-hmm. And you have the Janus case, and et cetera, et cetera. So there are a couple of municipalities in Kentucky, I think some of the bigger ones, that have their own ordinance, et cetera. But this was not one of them. It was a smaller town. And they decided the firefighters wanted to join a union. They said they're joining a union. They made it very clear. Two guys are the leads. And they wouldn't let them speak at city council, and eventually they got fired, even though they had a stellar record. And so the firefighters, having no recourse in the state, right, because if it was here in Illinois, for example, you would have the Illinois Labor Relations Act. You would have to go to the ILRB to file that complaint. There is none. So guess what?
They went to court.
Yep. And they said First Amendment, 14th Amendment, and the jury awarded them $1 million.
Nice.
Yes, right? $1 million. So, you know, kudos to these guys for having the wherewithal to do it, for standing up. And I think that should send a clear message like, hey,
you're right.
Hey, municipality, the $13,000 extra that you would have spent by paying them a little bit more or whatever it was they were asking for, maybe if it was staffing or whatever, you got slammed and
yes.
You just paid $1 million. So I thought that was kind of a cool story.
That's awesome.
We talked last week about the Department of Labor, Ed.
Yeah. This it was coming out, you know, from various news outlets, sort of under the headline of, you know, labor cheered the appointment of Chavez Dreamer as the Secretary of Labor, and now she's sort of helping to dismantle the regulatory frameworks that protect workers. And so the United States Department of Labor is currently...
The Department of Anti-Labor?
Hey-o. Is that the new name? They're getting rid of 60 regulations. And
only 60?
Well, 60 for now.
That's just a start.
An analysis of
just
this
wetting their beak.
Said that these are regulations that make sure people are paid fairly and come home from work safe. And interestingly, the administration basically crowdsourced the ideas for this by sending out emails to employer-side law firms. So the people who try to get companies out of trouble for breaking the law, they're being asked, which regulations should we do away with? So the fox is firmly in control of the hen house, folks.
No conflict there or anything.
But yeah, there are a handful of these regulations that are being rolled back. One that we've talked about a couple of times is the ban on paying less than minimum wage to individuals with disabilities. So we're talking about, you know, piecework for folks that are developmentally disabled. Some places, you know, you could pay 10 cents an hour, you know, depending on the speed that these folks were working.
Because God forbid you should pay them the whopping $7.25 an
right.
hour. Right.
I mean,
that's really going to break the bank.
You know, there are folks with disabilities who have to live on their own.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some help from the government, probably less now, but you know, they've got to make money. There's also taking away minimum wage pay for home health care workers.
Yep.
So we were just talking about this in Rhode Island.
Yep.
I mean, that is a difficult job. If you're taking care of somebody in their home, that's a thankless job. And to put it where these people might not even be making minimum wage.
Do you want someone getting paid $5 an hour
to take care
after
of your
grandpa?
Right. No.
Exactly.
No, and they make this whole argument.
Oh, I'm sure they're going to put a ton of effort into that if they're getting paid $5 an hour.
Oh, well, you know, it's you're forcing me to pay my nephew that's actually already lives there, you know, because he's now a home health care worker, blah, 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 blah. That's the exception, not the rule,
right?
You're actually hiring people to come in and take care of your elderly parents. And yes, you want them to make a living wage.
Paying sub-minimum wage for someone to come and work in your house is also a recipe to start having things from your house go missing.
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, theoretically speaking. But in addition to that, they removed all workplace protections from seasonal H-2A farm workers. So folks who come in just for the summer, anybody that would try to participate in any kind of organizing or concerted activity on those workforces, they have no rights anymore.
Well, they're not going to be here anyway.
I thought he was going to leave the farm workers alone.
No, he tried to.
ICE is leaving the farm workers alone.
ICE
they're not
is,
taking them up and snatching them and disappearing them, but they are taking away all of their rights.
His billionaire friends realize, actually,
I thought they said they were going to ignore that rule.
What's that?
I thought I said no. We're not playing that game.
I hope so.
We're
or no. I mean I no. I never mind. I don't want to see any of these people getting snatched up while they're at work.
Listen, I understand, and I don't disagree. Obviously, you never want to see something like that happen. But you know, there's consequences for actions, and this is what the country voted for. And if all of the folks that are undocumented that are doing this, you know, hard manual labor, restaurants, farms, hotels, right, things like that, magically go away, guess what industries disappear? Farms, hotels, restaurants. Yeah. I'm serious, because, oh, they're taking our jobs. Great. Who wants to pick strawberries in 130-degree heat, everybody? Correct. Come on. We're paying $6 a strawberry.
Who wants to be a short-order cook?
Yeah. $6 a bushel or $6 a day or whatever it is, right?
Right. And one of the biggest things that they've done is they've altered sort of the general purpose of USDOL protections, which is to protect workers from risky situations that their employers put them in. By basically what they're saying now is that, you can't take action against your employer for putting you in a dangerous position if you work in what they're going to call an inherently risky job. So if you work in construction and, you know, something falls from the sky and hits you or something, it's like, well, you work construction. So despite the neglect that may have happened on the employer's part, like, it's a dangerous job. You should have known you were doing a dangerous job, which what's the point of having the Department of Labor or OSHA or any of this at that point?
Well, I believe that's their MO.
Right? It was a rhetorical question. Yeah,
yes. But you know what they said? They used as an example, stuntmen. Like, yeah, hey, if you're a stuntman, you know that's a dangerous job. So guess what? You have no protections anymore.
So
you took that job, and yeah, you know, you're a skydiver. You knew it was dangerous. Sorry.
If you're crashing cars and the seatbelt is broken and they don't fix it, then it's like, well, you know, you shouldn't have been crashing
cars.
That's
on you. That's on you. Should have checked.
But they took away things like proper lighting.
Alec Baldwin probably would support this, I think.
Yeah. Ow. Ouch.
Acting isn't inherently risky.
Acting, at least his acting.
I saw that about adequate lighting no longer required.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Really?
Job sites, yeah.
Going back to headlamps.
Seatbelts for migrant workers.
Just wear a blindfold at work when you're building a high rise.
Those folks who made those coal miner helmets, they've been struggling, but they're coming back.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but and so the list goes on and on and on. I started to pore through it, Ed, like you were just saying, and I was reading them like, you got to be joking, man.
Yeah.
Like, this one too, this one too, this one too. It's like, just here, get rid of it.
It seems like Lori may have sold her soul. Remember, she came in as, oh, I support the PRO Act, I support workers.
But I mean,
man,
when she came in, we
power
said,
power is
like,
intoxicating.
I don't think she has much of a choice.
Yeah, it's like, perhaps she's not going to be great. Are there worse people to have in that job? Probably.
Yes.
But ultimately, like, whatever she's told to do, she's going to
do. She's
going to
do, yeah.
Yeah, like Satan. Yeah. So, you want to hear some sort of good news?
Okay.
Why not?
Better than horrible
news
about worker safety.
Yeah, so there's a Senate Committee on Defense or something like that.
Armed Services?
Yeah, that's it. House Armed Services. They passed their fiscal budget, blah, blah, blah. Massive 55-2 vote. But one of the things that went directly against Trump's orders was they restored collective bargaining rights for 30 of their agencies. 30. Mm. 3-0.
Giving veterans, you know, the rights to a safe workplace.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But
30 agencies? Wow.
Yeah. So it was a direct rebuke to President Trump's attempt to strip collective bargaining. I'm not sure whether that fixes the dues issue. I'm not sure where it leaves that. But a bunch of Republicans crossed party lines. And yeah. I shouldn't say a bunch. Three.
Yeah.
And they voted with the Dems en masse to allow these particular agencies that are under this Armed Services Committee to continue to collectively bargain. I think that's a positive. I think that if you're Republican and you're listening, you know, and you are in a leadership position, we are not the enemy. And if you keep treating us like the enemy, we're going to become the enemy.
Exactly.
So don't keep treating us like the enemy. Stop, you know, taking collective bargaining rights away, right?
And if it's good enough to extend this to veterans, it's good enough to keep it for everybody. You know, I agree veterans make up the workforce in a lot of these agencies, they deserve to be able to collectively bargain for all the services they've provided.
Of course they do.
But what's the difference with any other worker? You know,
there is no difference. Yeah. And these are folks that do national defense, foreign relations, cybersecurity, border security, public safety, etc. I mean, these are important jobs. Yeah. You want them to be A, you know, well paid, B, have good working conditions, and C, feel respected. And so, you know, I think if more Republicans started to figure this out and stop the attack on public sector unions in the government, and around the country, quite frankly, we'd be better off. But we'll see what happens.
I hope those three Republicans, if given the opportunity to restore collective bargaining rights for other organizations, other agencies, would do the same thing.
Look, there was a Senate confirmation hearing. It was for, I forget who it was for. It was for somebody, maybe at the National Labor Relations Board. It was Crystal Carey, the Trump pick general for counsel. General counsel. Yeah. And she has argued on behalf of disbanding the National Labor Relations Board, I think, or finding it unconstitutional. So it's like, once again, Fox in the henhouse.
Yeah, she is the Fox.
Yeah, right. But guess who's pounding her on questions and really taking her to task on this is Josh Hawley.
Yeah.
Once again, from Missouri. So
the new populist,
I just think that if people continue to to take his lead here, and maybe he steps up and starts to pound some of his co-workers, if you will,
his colleagues,
to say, hey, let's take a quick step back here. These are not the enemies, right?
No.
We're working class people. Like, our constituents are working class, blue collar, white, whatever you want to call it, worker bees. Let's stop attacking them.
Not to mention, Republicans did support these protections because they've been around for 70 years.
In many cases, they were put together by Republicans.
Yes, and we've had how many Republican administrations? It's just all of a sudden in 2025, it says, no more collective bargaining. We don't care about working people.
I have a hard time with Josh Hawley because he's stepping up in a lot of the right ways now, but I've spent, so many years looking at what he did and just being horrified.
I understand.
He's turned. It's like when you, he's like a guy that you find your wife cheating on you with, mm-hmm. and you're really mad at him, but then it turns out he's like a really nice guy and he's got season tickets to the Bears and he wants to take you and you're like, I don't want to like you.
Brews beer in his basement.
He makes beer,
That was quick after Ed getting married to making that analogy.
He's got like a poker table. So, I'm just saying.
So you're talking about your new best friend?
Bad guy.
Claire, if you're listening, poker table, season tickets.
These are the things I need not to be mad when you cheat.
Yeah. Somebody who's got access to, fun sporting events.
But I see your point, but you're right. At least he's showing growth. He's showing, I understand these issues. And now, is it politically expedient? Probably.
He's out there and he's doing the right thing.
Yes.
And you've got to support it to give safe harbor to other people who want to step up and do the right thing.
He's not following orders in lockstep. He's thinking independently. And now
have some of these Republicans that are doing exactly the same when it comes to workers' rights.
Right.
I'm personally going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call Josh Hawley's office, the folks that I just mentioned on that House committee, and I'm going to thank them for doing the right thing for workers. And I would encourage people to do the same thing because people need positive reinforcement. They need to know that you have their backs if Trump is going to go against them or, you're going to get primaried. Well, who cares, right? Yeah. So what? Big deal. And so
His influence is waning.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So we will be back, right? We're going to finish up the show. Talk a couple of quick shout-outs of listeners of the week.
You're going to want to hear them.
Yeah, hell yeah. And we'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I'm Ed, here with Ken and Phil. And we've only got a few minutes to wrap up the show here, but wanted to point out one story that drove me a little bit crazy this week, Ken and Phil.
What's that?
Mercedes,
lay it on us.
Mercedes-Benz is going to start putting cameras inside of its cars that will connect to Microsoft Teams and allow people to participate in Teams calls.
Just Microsoft like Zoom Teams? Calls.
It sounds like it's a partnership with Microsoft.
Yeah, I got it.
So they can participate in Teams calls while they're driving.
How is that legal?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. I've got two problems with this, and that is if I can't text and watch movies while I'm driving, these people shouldn't be on Zoom calls while they're driving. I mean, there's distracted driving laws for a reason because it's extraordinarily dangerous. But second, there's no more safe haven from working. It's not like, oh, I'd be on this Zoom call, but I'm going to be in the car, so I can't. You know, and you couple that with like Starlink, the high speed internet that's coming free on airplanes. Airplanes are just going to be full of people that are doing Zoom calls. You used to say, I'm getting on a flight, I'll call you when I get off. No more. No, there's no safety.
You don't have that excuse anymore.
You can't just sit
You're
there.
You're literally going to work 24/7. We got listeners of the week?
Yeah, we want to throw a shout-out to a couple listeners of the week, some real special folks this week. We have Josh Van Dyke. He's a listener out of Operators Local 77 all the way out in Maryland, D.C. metro area. Big fan of the show. We appreciate you, Josh. Keep listening.
That's super cool.
And then we got a letter, a really nice handwritten letter from Bill Tauber. He's a local 134 electrician, 93 years old.
Whoa.
He said he stumbled upon the show. His wife got him to listen, and he's a listener for life.
93. Before the Wagner Act.
That's for sure.
Before the National Labor Relations Act.
Yeah.
So he was actually alive when there was no Labor Relations Act.
Right. And he was alive for a lot of other things. But that's all we got for this week. We are out of time.
Yeah, we
got to
go.
So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to right here with us at the Workers' Mic. We'll be back with you next week.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.